We're grateful to be here with some of those saints here today. Also grateful that what makes us, any of us, anywhere in the world, Church of God, is the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful today that God has made it so that we all might know Him and the power of His resurrection. That every one of us, wherever you are, across the whole broad face of this world, there are people that perhaps don't know as much as what you and I know, but they have heard the sweet tones from heaven, and they have yielded their heart. You know, they're just as much part of the body of Christ as us, and I'm grateful for that. I would like to meet them. I would like to enjoy some fellowship with them and make it so that they would enjoy the other members of the body also. God wants us to be a body, the body of Christ, in fact. When you think of that, when you think of what God has called us to, it's a high calling. It's a wonderful place. I would borrow maybe a little bit of a metaphor from Brother Emmanuel Gracie. One time he came and preached us a revival there at the Four Corners Congregation. And he used a metaphor one time about, because I'm of a farming background, it really resonated with me. He said he would like to see this congregation, he said, become like a great big combine, a harvesting machine, where you're going out there and you are reaching souls and reaping people for the kingdom. And I agree with that. That's a good thing. That's a goal that the Lord would have us all to share in, and then ask the Lord, what's my part in that? And then as we look at, there's not many of you probably have driven a combine in here. You know what I'm talking about when I say combine? Well, when we get ready, you look out there and the wheat maybe is golden, or the crops are at the place that need to be harvested, and you see that day approaching, and you start preparing. You take out the combine and you clean things that need to be cleaned, and you grease things that need to be greased, and you change oil in the engine, and you look at all the moving parts and make sure they're in order, because the last thing you want to do is have a catastrophe when you're out there in the wheat field or somewhere harvesting some crops, because fires can happen. Generally, when that happens, that means there has been a failure somewhere. And amongst all the moving parts of this harvesting machine, there's a whole lot of components. Well, there's an engine that has to be maintained. That gives the power source. We all know who the engine is. Our power source, it comes right down from God out of heaven through our Savior Jesus Christ. And if any man, we must be attached to this vine that comes down. We must be engrafted into Him and receiving that strength and power, direction from Him. And I don't want to overwork this metaphor, but as we begin to look at something like that, inside this combine, there are things that they do their very specific purpose. And that's all they do, is one specific purpose. You know how important grease is? Does anybody like that all over your hands? Most of us don't. You know, that's not something that, being a farmer and doing some mechanic work, I've had it over number of places, all my face. Never liked it. Just, you feel, but it's a very important thing. It's extremely important. You see, if it's not there, you're going to have a fire out while you're harvesting. Things are going to happen badly. Things are going to fail. Things start rubbing together so hard that friction begins to build up, and then you have a catastrophic failure. You know what we could maybe liken some of that grease to? It's not something inglorious. It's a wonderful thing. You know, the love of God is a fantastic lubricant for our spirit, for our inner workings in a congregation. And that's very important. Oh, it's not just our inner workings, but the inner workings of my very own spirit. Oh, how many times that we have needed, have you ever, maybe I shouldn't say, I should say it like this. There are many times over the course of my life I have found some rancor or something begin to build up with my own spirit, and I've had to go back and say, Lord, help me to love them like you love them. And that's a good prayer. One time while working with we would minister in the jail up there in our area. It was a Sunday afternoon, and we went in there. The Lord gave us a message, and one of the men was really touched. Felt like he was wanting prayer afterwards. He said, would you come? And so we got over in the corner of this room, and he started opening up things that why he was there and being honest. And some of the things he told me he had done, I'll be truthful with you, from my perspective as a man that held values and normal boundaries, moral boundaries as being proper and right, when you tell me there's been some violation go on, I'm not going to get explicit. It was things that I found reprehensible, he was telling me. But he was needing prayer. And as this began to come out of him, my first prayer had to be, Lord, help me to love him like you love him. Help me, Lord, to love him like you love him. Because this is a soul that Christ died for. These are people that God wants them to make heaven. Christ was given not for the perfect, but for those who needed to be saved. Well, I want to go to some scripture here this morning. Ephesians 4th chapter. We'll just start with the first verse. And I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, Paul is writing this to the people at Ephesus. People at Ephesus were... there was a considerable portion of them had come from a very pagan background. There were likely some Jewish. I think there was a Jewish synagogue at Ephesus. But there was a lot of things going on in the background of this group of people that they weren't good people. There was a lot of immorality. There was remember great is Diana of the Ephesians? You remember who that was? You know who she represented? Great as Diana. That wasn't moral values that she represented. And the festivals that they held to honor Diana of the Ephesians were not moral. So it was in this environment that Paul was preaching to these people. And there was a group of people, not just a synagogue, but they were... And that was a Jewish religion, the synagogue at that point. But there came the message of Christ, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world, the one who is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is who he began to preach to these people, to the Jews. Some of them heard and they said, he rose from the dead? Yes, he rose from the dead. That's who rises from the dead. Who did somebody go and call him out of that tomb? No. He did it. He stood up out of that tomb because the grave couldn't hold him. Because he said he was coming out. And oh, there was such a faith, such a strength to the testimony that Brother Paul gave to these people. And perhaps they asked him, how do you know he rose? And he could say, I saw him. And he did, didn't he? On the road to Damascus. There was something... Not only did he see him, he said, there were many others that I know personally. They saw him too, witnesses. Oh, and we know he rose. And there's a reason why he could clearly and strongly proclaim to these people that there's hope. for their salvation. The Jew and the Greek, both alike now. There is a truth, there is a hope that comes to the God. He concluded all under sin that he might save them by his Son, Jesus Christ. So Paul now says, I'm a prisoner. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Now, in one sense, he was probably captivated by the love of God. You know, when he, on the road to Damascus, and the Lord confronted him there, and the Lord showed him this great mercy, I believe there was something about when we are shown such a great mercy from the Lord, I think there is something that binds us to that one who has just come in and delivered us from such great peril. There's that love holds us. So he was captivated by that, but it was more than that at this point. He was also captivated for his testimony of Christ and was in bonds. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. Notice the characteristics that Paul is trying to tell them. This is what the Lord wants us to be like. And in truth, us humans today still struggle against this type of a proper expression of who we are. Lowliness and meekness. We all feel like we're doing pretty good with that. A lot of times when we look at ourselves, we can generally feel pretty lowly and pretty meek when I'm at home by myself. But when I interact with others, and you have different opinions in mind, all these things, then we have a real good chance of being tested on whether we're lowly or whether we're meek. And that's when the Lord wants us to learn how to put that into practice. Lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit. Now, I want to stop just a little bit about this one body. You know, it is God's will, and it was expressed very strongly in Jesus' prayer, that they would be one, Father, as I am with Thee. As we, this union, this spiritual connection, this not just spiritual, but this real connection that He had in His soul with His Father. And God wants that type of connection individually with every one of us. And in that framework of us knowing the Father, being born from heaven, from above, in that framework then, as we know Him and begin to take on His character and learn of Him, we will find ourselves automatically drawing nearer to one another. You may still have to exercise forbearance, likely will. But in the course of following the Lord, you will find there's a natural desire. There's something flows out of our hearts that's more like the Father all the time. That expression and purpose of life will come from Him, from the very giver of life. And it will come down to you and I and be expressed and be perfected. Because where you are today isn't where you're going to be tomorrow. You're going to grow in grace. God wants you to. The only thing that'll keep you from not growing in grace is if you back up. Don't draw back. I understand you. We'll sometimes get in a hard place. It'll feel like, I don't know. I can't, Lord. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this. And I believe they meant to do me. They said things that hurt my feelings. And such is common to man. That is the time then. Then we are faced with this decision. Am I going to go on? Am I going to let this stop me? Don't have to. The very grace of God has come down. One body. One body. The Lord wants, and again, as we look at a body, this metaphor, as a combine a while ago, we talked about Paul used different places, metaphors about the body of Christ. And who is the body? The church being that body of Christ. And every one of us are members in particular. Isn't that so? Yes. What's your place? I'm not asking you to answer that for me right now. But the Lord would like you to answer that in your own walk with the Lord. Where, what part of this body am I? Now, I want to tell you, every part of that body has a function, and it's an important function. Your little toe doesn't look very pretty, I don't think. It's extremely important to your body. Now, you can cut it off because you don't like it. It's going to be wholly ineffective all over there by itself. It won't do the purpose that God wanted it to. It won't, the function, the body as a whole will be damaged. So I want to talk to you this morning a little bit about every one of us and your importance to the body, your importance to Christ, to the work of the Lord. And you, we may say, may look at ourselves and think, I'm just one of those that comes. I'm just one that comes and enjoys setting and singing. And I would like for you to look a little bit higher than just being a passive participant. I would like for there to be some thoughts of, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, that there's, I was reading recently about some of Paul's writings again, and he was talks about gifting in the body over, I think, in the 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, I believe, talked about the gifts of the body, and he mentioned healings in there, and I don't want to just jump to that, but it's there. It's part of it. How do you think you get to the place of receiving gifts that's supposed to be a blessing to the body? And be careful. Don't put so much in your mind. Don't say, well, I'm going to get the gift of healings to the point that I can impress people. You're probably never going to get that gift with that attitude, because it is given through a humility and a Christ-like spirit. Actually, one who's unwilling to use it as a personal tool. Almost without him knowing it, he's using it. You ever notice that? One time, my grandfather, when his mind was gone and he felt useless, he was very difficult in his last time, part of his life, to take care of, and the family worked very hard to keep him at home. There came a point that they did put him, the last days of his life, put him in a nursing home. His mind was gone. But with a mind that didn't know how to do anything more than pray, he still did that. And the people who walked by and heard him, you know what it did for him? He was still working for the Lord. And even if you feel like your mind is gone, you can still embed things in your very heart that begins to, that the Lord can call out of that. And do something for people. Would help us to be willing to just to be that. Just to be that person who's willing to be used of the Lord, however that might be. And I'm not going to be one who's going to be pushing and prodding, because God wants there to be willing service. But I'm going to ask us to take stock of where we are, who we are, and what our purpose is, and what your calling is, what your place in the body. And I want to remind us that we will never do very well if we decide to, well, the rest of the body doesn't need me. I'm going to be over here. That little toe that gets cut off over there, it's not going to stop, not going to survive. Its function isn't going to do well. It's not going to be good. But the Lord wants to fitly knit us, join us together. He wants to put us together in a fashion And you may think, well, I can't get up and testify. The Lord may not ask you to get up and testify. He may want you to just simply live the life and live it well and be supportive. And perhaps your gift is one who knows how to go and talk with somebody that maybe your neighbor that's feeling down, or what. There's myriads of ways that we can simply just serve the Lord. But we're not going to do well if we let the devil get us in a place that we feel segmented. God wants us to keep our eyes on Him and be drawn near together. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is some truth here over the course of time we'll try to work in more. But this oneness, this one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God and Father of us all, every one of us, it makes no difference of our background. It makes no difference of our culture or where we have, or our color. That God has a desire that all men come to Him. He wants to be our Father. And not just a Father that somehow in my mind is out there and just beyond my reach. No, He wants to be our personal Father, that we commune with Him, that we begin to know Him, that His reality in my life begins to build something, a solidness, a foundation for my hope of tomorrow, something that is real in my life. And I want our young people, I want them to get a hold of you children as you're growing up. I've listened to your Bible verses this morning. I thank God for them. There's so many good verses, and thank you, parents, for teaching your children those verses. But children, I hope those verses all stick in your mind, not just today. I know portions of them, I listened to some of them could recite their verses so well, and I thought, my, I'm one of those that would have been the little boy that could have said two or three words, and I don't have the gift that you have, and I'm grateful you do, children. I'm grateful that you do. But the Lord can use us, everyone. And as you children, as you grow, and as our young people grow, I want you to be established and settled and strengthened. And it's not just me. The God of heaven Himself wants our young people to have a foundation for their life and for their hope. I'm thinking right now about how of Christ and the church, this one God, this Father, this that God has created His body here on this earth. God is interested in people having foundations, a real foundation, a personal foundation for their life. Something you can build on. Something you know. See, I believe when Paul was arrested, was cornered, was confronted, perhaps I should say it like that, on the road to Damascus, he came away from that with something very firm and solid. He had an encounter with the Lord. He knew who He was. He knew at least on a measure who He was. And then he began to seek more. Who are You, Lord? And he began to seek and learn and understand, and was able then to relay that to others. God wants us to go through that process of learning Him and knowing Him. And you young folks, that's where I want you to have a foundation. A strong foundation for your hope. There's no reason to go out into the world and find a foundation. There is a foundation right here. There's something real. God wants us to get a hold of that, something real, for now. We want to help nurture that. We want to encourage that. And as a normal process of life, a process that God Himself has ordained, as we grow up, it's natural. God put it so that young men would be interested in finding a young lady to marry. That's right and good, because God made it so. But God wants those young men to to find a foundation for their life and begin to build on that foundation. He wants a reality to be so in their life that they have learned this one God, this relationship to have, that I know Him. And I know the power of His resurrection. There is something that has happened in me. And not just our young folks. Whoever, people out in the world, if perhaps today, sometimes there are people listening that I don't know. But I just wanted, if there are people today that are questioning in their mind, is there purpose for my life? I want to tell you, yes, there is. I want to tell you that in Christ, there is hope. In Christ, there is a place that life can take on a true and different meaning than perhaps it has in the past. There is something that the Lord offers and has for every one of us that we can begin to build on. This foundation. And as a young man, as he begins to build his life on that, then there will be this sense of stability. This sense of something real. You begin to build now on moral truths, on the Lord Himself is convincing us in our mind of where we stand and where we should stand. And we know it to be true because it rings true in our heart. We know it so. Honesty, moral values, diligence in life. You know, we decry sometimes that what we would consider laziness of younger generations. I suppose most generations have felt some of that about the younger ones. They just don't take on responsibility. But you know, the Lord would like to teach us all to be diligent. That's part of the characteristics. The Lord wants us to build on this foundation of Christ, and through the building on that foundation, He will begin to create in you and I characteristics that are very morally upright and morally good for this society we live in, and will make you, young man, bring you to a place that you can. You're marketable. You're valuable. This is practical, isn't it? You're not the same. You have some purpose now. The Lord wants to heal minds that are scattered. The Lord wants to focus on His way. Lord wants us to see and know and understand and have a place. There's a calmness begins to settle down over the young man after a while, and he sees this is right. And as I'm following the Lord, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I was once a young man. I'm just telling you, I may not be describing your condition. I'll describe my condition when I was a young man. I struggled with these things. That's part of what, and the Lord builds and strengthens and begins to grow us to the point that we're able then to more firmly lay hold on responsibility and feel the value, the strength of the Lord beginning to stand up. And then that young man, as the Lord, begins to build this character within him. Then you know what he has? He can look more confidently at a young lady and say, I'd like to start a life with you. And he's supposed to be able to do that. And then, as he grows and follows, and perhaps she needs to feel the security of a young man who's gotten hold of something, and it's real. It's not just put on at Monarch or the assembly meeting. It's real. It's here Monarch time and the assembly meeting and all points in between. He's consistent. He loves the Lord now and building his life on a foundation. And then that young man can offer something to his employer, to his wife, to his children, to the congregation. You see how God has intended for this to be such a blessing? And it is. It is a great blessing to our whole life. when we buckle down and say, Lord, I do want to serve you, and I don't know how to do it well today, and I'm struggling with these things in my life, but Lord, I want to gain the victory, and we're willing. And I'm not preaching salvation through works here. I want to tell you, there are works, there's effort that goes in this walk of salvation. Don't throw up your hand and say, I'm saved now and I can do whatever. No, the Lord asked. He wants us to be changed into His image. And that isn't, I hope you can receive this. That's not always a snap of the finger change. There's a change of salvation, don't get me wrong. We're from darkness to light. I agree with that. But as you walk with the Lord, that there's more changing that goes on as we walk down. And such a settling and a grounding, and God then makes a boy into a man and a strength. So today I call our young men, our men, to a place of strength in Christ. You know what that will do for our children, for our grandchildren, for people looking on? It brings a security. Are we not supposed to have that? Yes, we are. We're supposed to feel that. Because God Himself creates that for us. He stands as our Heavenly Father. And His desire is that you and I feel the great guidance, the loving guidance, we yield tenderly to His correction because He's proven how much He loves us, and He's proven how wise His counsel is. And so as we follow on and we know Him better, we begin to yield even more readily because I feel secure in His presence. I feel safe in Him, and that's what the Lord wants to create that in everyone. Seventh verse, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Oh my. What do you think the measure of grace then would be according to the gift of Christ? It looks like that'd be a tremendous amount, wouldn't it? But every one of us is given grace. Now, I would remind us today that what the Lord has offered to all of us is Himself in our hour of need, in our time of need. He offers Himself, His presence, His guiding hand, His dealings with our mind and my spirit. Sometimes you say, He dealt with me. We need to realize that most time when He deals with, we're talking about He entered into my thinking. Come, let us reason together, you see, saith the Lord. He wants to enter into our thinking. He wants to commune with us more than this outward, but He inside me. So that lets me know then, if we have this communion, the Lord wants us to offer Him our time and our mind. So it seems like I don't believe it's gotten any better here in this type of a setting. I can tell you out in the country where I come from, I know what my time, it seems like there's always something to take up the space in my mind, in my head. I think you're that way too. Lord, help us to know how to balance this. Young men, ask the Lord to help you to know how to balance that. And I can't tell you always where the balance is, but I ask you, Lord, help us to seek to find that balance. Because God does want to use. There's an area that God wants every one of us to yield ourselves, and maybe even more fully as time goes on, in the greater measure of yielding. I want to be part. I want to be part of this combine. I want to be part of this body. I want to be a useful part. I want, Lord, give me that gift of helps. Give me that gift of, I want to be part of this, Lord. I want to reach people. I want them to see Christ. I want, help me, Lord, to to cultivate the law of kindness, that it might be something when I reach out and touch people, it's just like an automatic thing. It's not something you're pressing yourself to do, but it is Christ in us, that hope of glory. It is something that has come down in me and changed me fundamentally inside. And now I look at people differently, even those who may have said things that I didn't like, or maybe even said things intentionally to kind of poke at me or you. At that point, Lord, help me to have the right spirit to cultivate that whenever the wine press is being trodden, whenever my grapes have been picked and been stepped on, what runs out of it? Ask yourself, when somebody comes by and takes a pinch of you, what are they going to find? Is there going to be some bitterness? You see, this is all part of the body. We're members in particular. Your attitude affects me. And affects people's perception of the body. Oh, when I was thinking about this message, I was thinking, Lord, help me. Remember the disciples one point when Jesus set down a principle for them and their response was, Lord, increase our faith. That's beyond. That's really. And when I think about some of these things that the Lord calls us to, I'm not discouraged or filled, but I hear the call saying, Lord, the Lord saying, come up. There's higher places for us to go. He's not revealing this to us. Now, if the devil uses this to crush you, blame it on the devil. But God's call to us is one of encouragement, one of inspiration, one of hope for tomorrow. And we're all part of the body. And I would like to ask us each one, begin to seek, Lord, what part is that? What part of the body am I? Now, all these things, the measure of the gift, 8th verse, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Led captivity captive. I could almost see him grasping hold of our enemy, that thing that used to captivate us, those things, those habits that maybe formed in us, those things that have held us maybe bound. On the cross, when he paid the penalty, he comes down and sets us, when we come to him, he comes to set us free. He took those things that used to captivate us, and if we'll turn it loose, he'll grab it by the hand and lead it captive. We don't have to be slaves to those things any longer. Thank the Lord for that. He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. So what do you think that is? What's your gift? Well, I don't know, maybe yet. But the Lord wants us to be able and willing not only to enjoy the gift of salvation, but also enjoy that place of that the Lord is preparing us to fill. And don't escape this, that saying, by saying, well, he's not preparing me for anything, I'm just here. No, he's preparing you to fill a broader place in your future. You're not supposed to be where you are today. Tomorrow he wants to grow. He wants to lead us to a larger place. A place of service. A place that this combine is working. Not just here. But across wherever the Lord owns souls, he wants us to be fit into that body, working together. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Skip down to the 11th verse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. All these things, for what reason? Which one's the most important here? What? You're right. Good answer. All of them are that the most important. Plus more. Every other aspect of the body, every part of it, is most important. Because it doesn't function without it. Or it functions less well without it. So do not think that your little portion, you feel like I'm a nobody. I'm just over here in the corner. Nobody knows and cares about me. I want to tell you, you're wrong. You are important. All of us, because we are especially important to God. And God help us to share how with each other how valuable we find each other. That I think is expressed simply because we do love each other. And God help us to cultivate that. He gave some apostles. That's an important place, isn't it? Prophets. I don't think that's necessarily here, when it says prophets here, I don't think this is necessarily meaning the foretelling of something. It could, but I think it's especially this gift that the Lord wants to give people, being able to communicate to others the good news of the gospel. And that can be done behind pulpits. That can be done on street corners. That can be done in your neighbor's house. That can be done on the job. Prophesy. Okay, if your mind right now, when I say prophesy, if it goes to this idea that I'm going to go get over in Revelations and really open up tomorrow to them, be careful, you're already off on the wrong foot. Because God's interested in us showing Christ from here. That our touches, our tongue, the way we speak, the looks that we might give, help us, Lord, to be more like you. Because he does want us to be that representative, that ambassador, that one that the world sees that is a ray of hope in a world of so much darkness. So many people have run off in the wrong direction, and they're finding that it's not working. Why do you think suicides are up today? Is it because it's been so fulfilling out there? No, exactly the opposite. They've run to the excess of whatever they're going to, and maybe their drug or something that has got them so captivated, and they don't know how to get free, and they're unsatisfied, and so this is their only hope. And that's what the devil does. He sells them a lie. When we have the ability, God has made it so that we can be truly a son of God, that we can be one of sons, be part of the sons of God. We can be those that have contacted him and know him for ourselves and have his spirit embedded within our heart, his Holy Spirit embedded within my soul. That changes me fundamentally. I no longer desire the things that I used to. I can tell you that has happened in my life. And you say, well, Brother Ivan, you've had so many years living for him, surely you better change by now. That's true. But the Lord changes us also when we get up off that altar and he asks us to walk in newness of life. And yes, he'll glorify that meek. He'll glorify the meek with his salvation. He'll paint his picture upon your life and make it so. And you may not be proficient, or you may not be proficient right at the beginning, but the Lord will teach and train. If you follow on to know the Lord, you will begin to know him in a greater and nearer capacity as you go on. And the Lord himself, again, will paint his glory upon you without you hardly noticing it. You don't have to trumpet that, Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this publican over here. I'm so good. Well, I've done all the... Lord, help us, because we know in our heart that that's not good at all. So a prophet, an apostle, we need people with visions to go forward. I don't know what all you might think about all these, but in the body the Lord has, you know, I think of our young people, and they may not be and may not feel equipped for some things, okay? But the Lord wants to equip them. And they have an energy, they have something to bring to this that is very important. Apostleship. You know, when we're working to try to, we find an area of people who perhaps are, their hearts are open to the gospel, we want people to go there. Maybe an old settled minister with a number of young ones coming along. You need them both. You need them both. So important for the work. The apostleship isn't just held by one person. Who went with Paul? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Who went with him? Weren't there some other younger ones? John Mark? Did John Mark do everything right all the time? But he was profitable. He learned. Oh, thank the Lord. When I look over the past, the things, we can look at Mark and say, oh, Mark, you shouldn't have done that. Well, yeah, he probably shouldn't have, but he learned. And I look at the story that we find here in the scripture, and I'm encouraged about our day, about our hope and our future. In this dark world, there are people that need to be saved. In this dark world, there are people who need to see the glory of the Lord painted on a young man's heart. Yes. They may see something that says, I don't want to be like that. There are people that are sick of where they are. And they need to hear the gospel in other ways besides words that are spoken. They need to hear it by lives that are lived. A life that says that just perhaps even in your quietness, but yet the Lord himself will show this settled calmness, this reality. You know, you found a foundation to build your life on, young man. You found something. You've got some settled things going on in your life. Maybe not as settled today as what the Lord will settle you as you go on, but you found a place to build, and you're going to build. Now, I'm saying young man, but I want to tell you, God wants every one of us, young lady too, to find this place to build, and he's provided it for us. It's here. We can know him and the power of his resurrection. Oh, I want to encourage us today. All these parts, these moving parts of this body, apostleship, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, it's all, God has ordained it all that the body might work well for the perfecting of the saints. Sometimes you think, well, the Lord did that he would shape everybody up. The preacher needs to say, he needs to get up there and line everybody out. Be careful, this is put together that all of this would be beneficial to each other, that it would be a perfect, well-oiled machine. Can I say it like that? A body that's not crippled. A body that is blessed because it has come together for a singular purpose. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Not pulling this way and not pulling. We're going to get a whole lot more done if we pull together than we ever will if you try to pull apart. Pulling apart's not good. But oh, God calls us in this oneness. And we can't create it out of coalition. We're going to create it. It can only be created through our love for the Lord, love and devotion for our Lord. And in that framework, God himself has perfected his bride. God himself has called us out of darkness and into this glorious light. God himself does that. And he sets members in the body as It pleased Brother so-and-so. Has it pleased him? And that comes to this yielding, this hunger. I want to serve you, Lord. All of this is done for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God wants the ministry. God wants His word, His truth. God wants this work going out. Yes, there's a part for in here as a congregation, but He doesn't want it just to be just us. This gospel is for everyone. Lord, help us to know how to do that and be effective at it. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. This lets me know, when he says, till we all come, this lets me know that the work of growth in the Lord is an ongoing process. And we've got to marry that idea with a knowledge of holiness in Christ. That doesn't mean that when we preach holiness, I want you to understand, that doesn't mean that I am full grown when I'm first born in Christ. You're holy when you're first born in Christ. When you're born again, you're a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. But in this growth, in this process, this perfecting of the saints, this thing that the Lord Himself is doing in all of our hearts brings us to a place of tempering, of effectiveness. Oh, there are some parts, and Brother Dan Adams will preach a lot of times messages drawing pictures or drawing from his experience as being a mechanic. So I'm a farmer. I'm going to draw probably some from that background. But in our work out there on the farm, there are some things, a shaft that we replaced here a while back that was worn. And it just looked like a shaft. But it was so hard that if you tried to take a file, you couldn't even scar it with a file. It had to have some substance inside of it. The metallurgy, I'm sorry, you're probably not going to grasp. Not everybody knows. But God wants us to be of such substance in our very spirit that we are hardened, we are tempered. And the Lord does that in this growth process. He tempers some of that, the hardness of that piece of metal had to have. He went through a process. Had to have the right metallurgy inside of it. Then it had to have a heat treating process. It had to be brought to a certain temperature and then quenched in a certain way. You want to be heated? You want to be quenched? You want to go through the... God can prepare you for your place of service. But God wants us to have that metal, that growth, that process of preparing you and I for the places that God wants us to fill in life. I'm sorry, our time has gotten away, and it's time. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. And I confess to you, that's my goal. I want to come to the fullness of Christ. And there's no way I could stand here and arrogantly tell you right now that I feel like I have arrived. I don't think I have. I have, forgetting some things which are behind, I'm having to press toward that mark. The prize, God wants us, not to be arrogant in ourselves, but be humble and realize that, Lord, I'm seeking to the fullness of your stature. I want you to be lived out in me. In fact, Lord, today I want to open my heart. My heart's so gladly. I want you, Lord. The places that perhaps I realize it's not quite like you, I want to tell you, Lord, today that you have full right to change me. And when he's changing, that doesn't mean we're not saved. It means he's perfecting. He's changing. And that's a good thing. Lord, I want to be more like you. I want to be in such a way that this ministry, that your purpose in this world will not be hindered by me. That my old carnality, these things that I struggle with, I want to put that to rest. I want to come to the place that is all on the altar. I want to be in that place, Lord, that I can be part of a soul harvesting machine. Lord, help the oil of your love and your Holy Spirit, your very character, help that to be so rich in me that when the frictions of life comes along, that when I'm getting rubbed the wrong way, that there will be something come out of me besides just friction. There will be something there that will help me to withstand and that we can stand in godliness in those moments, because there's a hungry world listening and looking to see how the gospel is preached. Saying, I'm not a prophet. Yes, you are. You're preaching something by your life. Yes, you are. Wherever you live, your children will hear what you're preaching, if no one else. I know, maybe you say, I don't have children yet, but the point I'm making, the Lord wants us to live in such a way that people will see Christ in our life. And as he does that, he will draw us all together, compacted, fitly joined together. That when there's seems like somebody's got a burden going this direction, the whole body says, yes, just a natural flow. It just, because we flow at, where did that burden come from? It came from God himself, the Holy Spirit. Remember in the scripture, the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me. Remember? That's what the Lord wants us. To be led by the Holy Spirit in all these areas of our life, that we might be effective for him. Well, thank the Lord this morning. I want to thank you again for letting me come and be part of this body that's here. I want to ask the Lord that he would bless us all, keep us encouraged, and give us fresh inspiration and hope for the future. And some of you I don't know very well. Some of you I know pretty well. But as time goes on, I want to get to know all of you much better. Because we want to be able to trust one another. And I want you to feel my love. And I hope when it's all over with, you will realize it's not just my love. I hope you will be able to realize it is the love of God himself. Because if you just feel a human love, that's not sufficient. I want you to feel that God loves us. And sometimes God asks us to show that just by the great caring. So thank you again. May the Lord bless each one of us.